the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Oh man, rough. Okay, well, where do you want to start?
The guy will not reply back to me. I tweeted him once, he replied back to me, and then the second time when I asked it, and it's several times I have asked for an answer to a question I proposed, nothing. Silence.
He replied to me today. He sent me to me today.
Does not reply. He replied to me
QTR,
once
about the QTR Larry Lepard show.
And you know the question I asked, because somebody else, I tagged him in something, he replied back.
Yeah.
I tagged him about the Blockfish. Then I specifically asked, did you pull all your funds from BlockFi at the same time you were advertising for them? No reply.
Yeah. I mean,
I want a clear yes or no. I believe it to be yes based on everything. Well, but
you're never going to get it, Jack Nicholson. You can't handle it. The truth. So don't worry.
Certainly handle the truth. And I'm going to send you that thread. Fundamentals at 21, I think, is his name on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal thread with let's talk about some notable stories.
Let's
the
get
January
notable.
CPI yeah. is out. And the numbers being reported show a increase month over month. And without getting into the specifics of what darts were hit on the board this month, taking into consideration the recent tone from Powell and the fact that inflation being reported has been going up, and it's been going up for some time, last 4 months, I think. I'm wondering, does this change your opinion on what's going to happen moving forward with the rates? Because the reason why I ask is there's a potential Powell is a lame duck chair.
Yeah.
Right? Like, meaning that once Donald Trump, I suspect he's going to be elected president, he's probably, I think there's a very high likelihood he's going to turf Powell, right? So if you're in Powell's seat and you're looking at this, like, you know, this is a scenario that he might fucking be out of a job in less than a year. Why would he listen to any influence from the White House in terms of doing his job? Maybe he could parry some of that influence, maybe not all of it, but I don't know. Maybe the picture I'm painting may not ever come into fruition, but anything is possible. And, you know, if you look at the inflation over the past 4 months that's being reported, it's gone up. So why would they not keep rates higher for longer?
Inflation is up in the States only compared to expectations. It's still sort of, you know, if you look at 12 months of that chart, it's trending down. The problem is Supercore, which they claim to be looking at, is up a little bit. And gasoline, you know, in terms of the price of like a barrel of oil, is still pretty low. And I don't think either of those things are long for this world. So I expect inflation is going to go up. The two things that the U.S. has going for them is that the inflation was really due mostly to the services sector, price pressure there, which whatever, you can kind of weather that or expect that it won't be as sticky as some of the other inflation. And the other thing is that retail spending surprised to the downside. That's from TD Economics too. So it's not just me saying that or looking at graphs or reading the tea leaves. If consumer spending is down, then maybe you start to see a drop in some of the other CPI numbers next month or next quarter or whatever. Who knows, right? Powell is like every other federal, you know, central bank chairperson. He wants to cut. The bias in rates is down. It's always going to be down. And the higher for longer guys, I think, don't understand that the cut is the last piece of the equation. The market is already pricing in everything else. Nvidia is worth more than like the entire nation or the entire continent of Europe or whatever. Like, who knows how much that thing's going to run higher. But I think a lot of people are calling for like this huge crash in both housing and the stock market as rates stay higher. My question for those guys would be like, a crash to what? The levels not seen since January, you know, 20% ago, 15% ago. It's not a crash. I think for a crash at this point, for real pain, especially in the stock market, you need 60 or 70%. Because the numbers are, I mean, you tell me. Look at the chart of look at the Mag 7. Look at the S&P 500. Look at the ETFs for the S&P, like VFV here in Canada. XEQT is another one that's widely used. Show me how a 30% drop in equities causes enough pain to force a recession or to force CPI down. It doesn't. And I think the concern that those guys have at this point is that their tools aren't going to do the trick and people are calling their bluff. And as long as credit stays available for the consumer, right? We talked about how credit card debt is up. People are just going to keep racking up the debt and not selling equities, not doing any other stuff that they would normally do, not scale back spending. And you're adding to the sort of loop because people are also doom spending. You can't save for a house anyway. So why the fuck not just go to another concert? Why the fuck not just take another trip? Why the fuck not just buy another TV, buy another camera, buy another phone, buy another whatever, right? They got a problem over there. And I think inflation is going to start running really hot. Do you think that Trump will turf Powell regardless of what he does with rates in the next 8 months? Powell claims not to care about politics or whatever, but I'm sure he does. And I agree with you. I think Trump's going to turf him no matter what, because I think Trump views him as part of the reason he didn't get reelected. And I think he views him as a guy who will be, quote unquote, part of the, you know, deep state permanent Washington apparatus that he doesn't want anywhere near a second presidency, which short of him being dead or in jail, he is almost bound to get at this point, you know, unless there's like a surge in the sale of stamps with about a week to go before the election and mail-ins get senile Joe over the hump. But otherwise, I mean, you see a lot of changes at the Federal Reserve, I think, in terms of policy, in terms of direction, and in terms of, you know, price of money, right? The interest rate. So let's wait and see.
So it sounds like we're both in agreement that he's going to probably be out of a job shortly after Trump gets elected. So if we could come to this agreement and we could see this, I'm sure Powell could also figure this out as well. And I don't think it would be a terrible blow to him. Like, he's not the youngest person in the world, right? He could enjoy his retirement, do speaking engagements and all that shit. But what I'm trying to get at is if he's like, you know, like, it's like a lame duck coach. Like, you're not going to do something to fuck up the team. You're going to do the best thing you can to ensure that the person after you inherits something good, because you don't want to have the stigma attached to you that you are the worst federal chair in history. So keeping rates, quote unquote, high, you know, where it is right now, and roughly in the 5% range, or maybe even slightly higher, that could be a potential option. I mean, anything is possible.
Don't forget, Powell doesn't talk about the policy rate. He talks about the real rate. I think that's the term. I can't remember now. So it's basically the rate minus inflation. So inflation is the variable there, right? That's your X. So if they can get inflation down a bit, then maybe that rate becomes too high. He always makes sure to make that distinction now when he talks to the press. And I think that that's something to pay attention to. If inflation gets up again, then, you know, it's a very static, it's a very dynamic situation, I should say. Nothing is static there at all. It's been fun to watch. And I don't do a lot of public speaking, obviously, but like, I think I'm pretty good at it. And I can like tell when someone is kind of nervous compared to when they're not. And I got to say, 2-3 months ago, Powell looked to be less and less nervous. The most recent FOMC 2 weeks ago, he didn't look very happy to be there. He didn't look like he was jovial. Didn't look like he had an edible before the press conference like he did the month before, the report before. But we'll see. We'll see how he looks in the next time he has to talk to the gaggle there.
So based on all this, anything is possible. And I just wonder if he's going to just potentially keep it as it is, regardless of what happens with inflation rate, just because he wants to ensure that he's not known as the worst fucking chair ever in history. So that's why I'm just looking at this.
Why is he not? Why do you think he's not? Like, he could already be headed that direction.
Correct.
He missed on the raise timing, right? He raised way too late, way too quick.
And then Joey, if you have to name five chairs, I wouldn't be able to.
Volcker, the reality Powell, is I don't have enough Bernanke, data. Yellen, Mnuchin. There you go.
Volcker?
Oh, Mnuchin wasn't one. He was Treasury Secretary, maybe.
So, like, it's hard for me to, like, really. I don't have enough data. This is a world I don't really care too much about, to be perfectly frank. So, and just by looking at that, he's not a young guy. He's at the end of it, he's been in this job for almost a decade.
Like, close to it.
Was it 2015, 2016?
He's an Obama.
Oh my gosh. So,
pretty sure.
So, whatever. And I guess one thing I just want to bring up is, Boomer was asking, are they refilling the SPR reserves? And I took a look right now. I'm on their website. And the answer is no. The SPR reserves are going down since Oh my God.
Buddy, I'm telling you, those low oil prices are not long for this world either. They got an expiry date and it is going to match that chart like you would not believe. I cannot believe these guys are doing this for political reasons. It's just completely insane to me that this is going on.
November is the last month that's been reported here. So yeah. November 2023. So as 2 months, 3 months, there's nothing reported. They haven't added anything to it since August. So September, October, November of 2023 has been flat. No mm-hmm. increase, no decrease. So they haven't been adding to it, but they haven't been subtracting from it. So
right.
That's just something to answer.
Fun and exciting. What's next?
There's a story from CNN, and they're talking about, the title of this story is German bank braces for wave of bad loans in greatest real estate crisis since the financial crisis. It's a German bank, PBB. Don't ask me what the acronym stands for because it is a very long German word and I'm a German name and I'm terrible at this. But anyways, they're a specialist bank. They are focusing on real estate financing and public investment finance. They're not a traditional universal bank like Deutsche Bank. They're a specialist bank, so keep that in mind. But anyways, PBB came out this past week saying that they only have enough cash and highly liquid assets to operate for 6 months. So they desperately need new investors. When this happened, their stock tumbled 17%. I can't believe it didn't topple 99%, but what the fuck do I know? The bank has a large exposure to real estate. So what I'm trying to get at here with this story is banks in general that have large exposure to real estate, i.e. all of them, they're fucked. Even Janet Yellen this past week was noting that banks that have this type of exposure to real estate, especially commercial, mm-hmm. they're in dire situations. Germany's biggest lender, Deutsche Bank, said last week that it allocated 123 million euro during the fourth quarter of last year to absorb the potential default on its U.S. commercial loans, real estate loans. 123 million euro. Like, that's basically two or three commercial deals, right? That's fuck all. And they allocated this in Q4. New York Community Bancorp, that was another one that was heavily tied to real estate, commercial, and also commercial real estate in New York. That we have talked about this last week and the past, actually, last few weeks about this. A bank in Japan called Aozora, they said that bad loans tied to U.S. offices led to a projected annual loss of $190 million last year. Buckle up. There's a lot of fucking banks that have exposure to U.S. real estate, commercial real estate, that they are going to feel the pain. And when they feel the pain, there's going to be bailouts as a result. We feel the pain, and the cycle continues. And on top of all this, with you see all these problems going on with these banks and commercial real estate, the Fed said they're going to be testing 32 different banks against a severe global recession that impacts commercial real estate, residential real estate, and corporate debt markets. So they see something is going on, and they're going to try to test how well these banks, the 32 banks that they're going to randomly select, as a way to see if they could weather the storm. So they obviously see something that's coming up. Of the 32 banks they're going to be testing, Joey, surprisingly, New York Community Bancorp is not on the list. I wonder why, because they fucking failed that miserably. So there you go. Banking, real estate, commercial real estate, all looking bad.
Looks pretty bleak, eh? If you're one of these guys who has to mark to market your real estate portfolio in the next year, you're really going to be cruising for a bruising, right? You're really not going to be happy about the markdown you take if you try and renew the loan too. The Looney Hour, Keith Thicker specifically, talks a lot about loan loss provisions, which is money that banks keep in reserve to help combat some of the risk in bad loans. And you know, in the last year or 2 years, you've seen a significant spike in the number of dollars these guys are keeping just to protect themselves from stuff that they must have thought was a good deal risk-wise at some point in the last 5 years or 10 years, and now suddenly is not. The question is, are they going to have enough? I think Janet Yellen was on TV a week ago.
She was talking about this.
Right? And she's doing an interview, and you know, I'm going to become the body language doctor again here to quote the famous Bill Simmons. Didn't like the way she was shaking her head a little bit too much and twitching a little too much and kind of losing her breath a bit too often. I realize she's, you know, a little longer in the tooth than you or I.
She's in her 70s.
Some of that stuff is forgivable, but Len, I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of faith in anything that's that these guys say. And I worry that there's a lot of risk under the table that's not being accounted for or not being discussed or being intentionally kept secret. Joey, that's so tinfoil hat. Everything's going to be fine. I don't know, Anon. What about 2008? What about 2001? What about 1987? What about, you know, XYZ other crash and lie, set of lies and manipulated data? You got to express the risk somewhere. And so those loan portfolios is one way, dollar is another way, bank stock prices are a third way. There's lots of ways to express risk. You can't hide them all. You're going to be playing whack-a-mole with public markets. It's almost always a losing game, right? So let's wait and see. Do you think that we go a year without a significant crisis in the U.S. banking sector? We talked last week, I think, about...
We haven't gone a year. Like, in it's past 12 months.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we're not going to be able to go a year. And so we even talked last week about how the regionals have, like, double the credit card delinquency. They probably have double the mortgage delinquency, double the auto delinquency. Like, they have... It's all in those regionals, man. And those regionals...
The BTFP.
Yeah.
That's a result of...
like, a month or 2 months, right? It's pretty close.
But they put that in place to try to prevent further collapse. If that didn't come into place, the banking crisis that we experienced in 2023 would have been far, far worse.
How much money do we have in the reserves for CBP? Like, can we snap up an American regional bank if the prices get low enough?
It's potential. We got a decent amount of Bitcoin that we purchased. Now, we'd have to pay capital gains on that. We'd have to run the numbers to see if it's possible. But yeah.
Call the accountant. I think we should look into this. We'd be sick if we could just start broadcasting from a bank vault. We don't even need to use the bank. Just give me the building. Let's broadcast the show from a vault.
You know that Patrick Bet David does that, right?
Does he really?
Yeah. So that's probably crazy. 6 months ago, I don't know if they bought the building or they signed some agreement, but yeah, they now do it from a bank vault. That's where they're
sick. That's a great idea. That's on YouTube, right? It must be on YouTube if you've seen it.
Yeah, they do it all on YouTube. And that show that when they first announced it, I'm guessing it was 6 months ago, it was, they talked about it at length. It was, you know, it was a landmark moment for that show. But anyways, something that's not a landmark moment, at least for Americans, is the border bill, which at least basically scribbled out the border bill stuff. So I don't know how it came to this, where initially, you know, it was a border bill and that's what was being talked about. I think it was being talked about within politicians and political circles, but also the media too. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, a percentage of it was actually the total bill was going to be for the border. Now they got rid of it. So the U.S. Senate, they passed a $95 billion aid package. This was 120. Well, they scribbled out the border bill stuff, so it was three figure billion. So this aid package is going to go to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, this kind of happened too, by the way, around Super Bowl time, right?
Big surprise. If
it just seems funny that this took place. They got rid of the border shit. It happened around the Super Bowl. It's kind of like, you know, trying to do this like on a Friday before a long weekend. And then, you know, it's like, what the fuck is going on here? It seems like nothing is being addressed that should be addressed. And the money that's being spent on foreign wars to keep them going, it's like a never-ending pit of money. And you got people in the United States that can't find jobs or they're addicted to drugs. Healthcare, they can't afford it, and so much is going wrong. People are being evicted or foreclosed. You know, I would imagine these are the type of things you should be investing in. What the fuck do I know? Or maybe even infrastructure. You go to airports in the United States compared to airports around the world. Like you go to China, for instance, and you look at pictures. It's like, holy fuck, the airports in China are brand new and they're modernized. You go to the United States, it's like a fucking war zone. Or if you go to the New York subway, you're lucky if you get out of there. It looks pathetic. I know. With all the maintenance that hasn't been done over the years. And then you see all this money going abroad. It's like, really? Like, do we really have to do this? And it's just a shake my head moment.
Immigration and the border and Narwhal talking about the Americans coming or the migrants coming into Canada too. Narwhal, I know you're an American. I hear you on TFTC sometimes. This is so nuclear, I'm not going to touch it. But I will say a couple of things just about the kind of broader situation with omnibus bills, right? And that's basically what this is. Omnibus bills are bills that, you know, capture some specific cause and specific cost and then tie in a bunch of other pork. tons of this stuff happens. Happens here, happens in the States, happens all over the place, I'm sure. The reason they do this is because they want to be able to say, well, this person didn't support the border bill when we brought it forward. They don't mention, of course, that there's, you know, 100 million, 200 million, or in this case, several tens of billions probably for cause XYZ that maybe one party or one person or one faction doesn't support. And so they don't want to pass the bill. And then they, you know, accuse them of being anti this, anti that, whatever the ism is of the day, that's what they are. And it's just this, you know, clusterfuck of media coverage with no productivity or, you know, plot advancement in terms of what these guys are doing to fix the border problem. The bigger issue, I think, for the States, you know, whatever, these foreign aid packages, this is nothing new. These guys spend tons of money on foreign wars. They will kill people all over the planet with the American dollar. They've been doing it for a long time. But isn't the bigger issue that Texas is basically on the path to secession here?
Are they going to go ahead with it? Do you think
it seems more and more likely every day? You got Abbott now building an armed forces base for 2,000 troops on the Texas Mexico border. And I mean, it's not about whether he plans to use the troops against the federal government. I don't think he does. The fact is, though, that this guy is a state governor building borders, building a guard to secure a federal border, a nation border. I would say that, you know, without being an expert in succession or secession, it's probably secession. Yeah, got to soften that C up. Without being an expert in secession, I would say that probably there's similar stuff that's happened in a lot of other cases where states have seceded from the union or I more mean like broadly, the last time, you can look back, I'm talking like 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, whatever. I'm just using state and union there in the sort of, you know, royal state, royal union type thing. I would guess that this is a signpost. Is it not? We're building a military installment on a border. It's got to be. I just don't think that this lends itself to, you know, improving relations with the federal government anytime soon. That would be my big concern if I was somebody in American political life. But it doesn't seem like anyone's talking about it. It's been basically out of the news entirely. You only see this stuff, you know, text it on Bitcoin Twitter and conservative Twitter, I would say maybe a little more often than liberal Twitter. But by and large, it's been basically nothing, right? Radio silence on that. That's where I would be concerned if I was them.
I don't put too much stock into this, into something like that taking place, at least not right now, maybe in several years or decades potentially. But
well, it depends, right? It depends on what you mean by secede. It doesn't necessarily mean that you form your own nation state and start your own currency. But does it mean that you stop taking orders from the federal government? Like, no, I'm not going to shut down the Bitcoin miners. No, I'm not going to force them to report the data that they're collecting. No, I'm not going to force people to do self-hosted wallet nonsense. Regulate AI. Like that, I could see.
This is part of the deal. Once you join the collective, then you got to listen to the master tell you.
That's true here, but it is not true over there. It is not true over there. The
United States.
Yeah, I think that's in name only.
States are united over there.
State sovereignty means a lot more over there.
There are certain things that the federal government deals with.
I don't know.
So when you were talking about them seceding, the one thing that comes to mind is the mandibles. And you talk about Nevada being that, and it was landlocked. So at least Texas, in this case, it's not landlocked. So they have the ability to transport shit in and out by sea. Plus, they have a border with Mexico as well. So that's the one thing that I always wonder when I hear anything to do with secession in Texas. I always revert back to the mandibles.
Mandibles moment.
It's a reality of that. So the United States of... Is that what they call the United States of Nevada? I forget. That's what
I don't know.
Something like that. Anyways, New Zealand central bankers. And man, we saw this. And I can't believe that. And I'm going to be very brief on this. I can't believe that they have the gall to say it. They were saying that central banking is a good business to be in.
Unreal.
They're printing. They print money and people believe it. And they do it with a fucking laugh, right? Like, really? Like... I see this, and I've Krusty the Clown. I've seen have better judgment with trying to keep the quiet part quiet and saying the loud part loud. These guys are doing the opposite. It seems. That's all I'm going to say is, like, come on, truly no coiners category here. Not my no coiner of the week. Actually, I do have somebody, by the way, But these guys are very, very close to what they did over here, and terrible stuff.
Isn't it bizarre when the emperor tells you he's naked?
But if he's walking around naked and he tells you,
you know what I mean? Like, the jig's up. It's very, very weird. I must have watched that clip 5 times and tried to find like the longer version of it. I haven't been able to find it, but I kind of want to see, like, was that just taken out of, it's hard for me to imagine that it was, but was it taken out of context? Was it selectively edited? I don't know. I want to see the longer video.
I don't know.
Who knows? I want to see the longer video. There's one out there for sure. Cause that was like completely insane, man. That is batty. And New Zealand, by the way, you know, another place with a lot of friction, domestically, thanks to some of the COVID stuff and other, you know, they're in the same kind of real estate mess that we're in over here. So not a great time to be testing the limits of the sanity of the voting population. That's for sure.
Well, they switched prime ministers. It's a new person from the same party from previous.
Yeah.
And so this guy, I don't know if he was hand selected by the former prime minister. I don't know. But at the very least, things seem to have, you know, settled down over there somewhat. I don't know if it's a result of this or just time, people, you know, are just more, anyway, we'll leave it at that. But my no coiner is, I'm going to talk about The Economist, and we talk about The Economist many times before, but this time I'm gonna have to bring them up because they penned an article that said your pay is going up too fast. Yeah. That's the fucking title. Your pay is going up too fast. And they are blaming the pay everybody receives because it's gone up. That is the reason why central banks are having a difficulty finally trying to rein in this inflation problem. It's now at the very end of this. We dealt with supply chain issues. We dealt with this and that, the flooding of money. It's fucking the money that we're getting paid. That's the last piece of the puzzle. And we're getting paid too much. And they say in the article, and I'm quoting this, although American pay growth is between 4.5% and 5.5%, it is probably too high for the Federal Reserve's 2% inflation target. So they're saying 4.5% to 5.5% increase in pay by Americans is too high, and that's causing the Federal Reserve difficulty to achieve their 2% target. But they also, in the same article, say, and this is by their own admission, rich world prices was rising 5.4% year over year. So, inflation is 5.4% year over year, but people's pay is 4.5% to 5.5%. Either barely covers the inflation or does just negligibly cover it. So I can't see they could say this on both sides of the fence. Prices are going up not because of fucking pay. It's because they flooded the market with M2. And now people are getting paid. It's a lag, by the way, to get paid more to catch up to the and they probably will never catch up in totality. They don't talk about the fact that they just flooded the markets with QE, with all this fucking money, and you have more money chasing the same goods, more money entering the stock market, more money entering into real estate, more money entering into Bitcoin. They mention nothing about this. And the sad thing is The Economist, they don't even say who the fuck wrote it. I can't find the author's name. He, she, they, them. I don't have a fucking clue who it is. It's just them, The Economist. Again, they are my no-coiners of the week.
There's no byline. The funniest thing for me is that the beginning of the article, I have it here. I had to pull it up. I didn't realize it was behind a paywall either, by the way.
Yeah.
I must have had an archive link before. Central bankers are entering the final stretch. Rich world prices are rising. So by 5%, by 5.4% year on year, down from a peak of 10.7%. Just the first sentence, okay? Central bankers are entering the final stretch. No, they're not. Oil is still super cheap, like we talked about. There's still problems with the data reporting. They're changing the CPI basket all the time. They're changing to look at things like quote unquote super core, whatever the hell that is. Then the next sentence, Len, rich world prices are rising by who's rich in rich world that's being paid too much? The UPS drivers just got laid off. Are they being paid too much? The guys who have to drive Uber and have two jobs in rich world to make it work? The new Canadians who come here on, PR, student visas, whatever, and have to live 20 to a basement apartment to make ends meet. Are they part of rich world making too much? Who's making too much? Anyone you know making too much? Anyone you know complaining about just there's too much money hitting my checking account every month? I got to slow it down to help ease the inflationary pressures. Anyone you know saying that?
Not a single person. But yet the economists are fucking reporting that's the case.
Unbelievable. The language they use is important, man. Like, It's like labor markets are not cooperating. What do you want us to do? Work for free? Work for less? Eat zip bugs? Whatever. Like, it's one of those things, basically, is what you're saying. Just say it. Stop trying to finesse me with the, you know, canvas bag New Yorker crossword puzzle bullshit and just say what you fucking mean. You can't maintain the lifestyle you think you should be able to maintain because inflation is too high. We fucked up and you got to pay the price for it. I don't think so, man. You go first. That's what I say. You're making too much.
And the sad thing is they don't put a name associated with the article. So they could put up whatever piece they want. And there's no way to tie it to an individual or a group of people that penned this. So it's sad that nobody's doing that. And when you see that, you know it's fucking a shitty article. If I wrote something that was good, I'd want to have my name associated. I would want to get the recognition that I deserve as a result of putting out a great article. But if I put out a shit article, I would not want my name out there because I want to have my stuff, my name penned with a good article. For flip side, I don't want to have it tied at all to the shitty article I fucking wrote.
Yeah, so
that's just another thing. Boomer was saying about the truckers. Did you see about that? What's going on in New York City?
They're refusing to. What are they refusing to take loads or deliver loads?
Yeah, because it's the ruling against Donald Trump. Right, there was a recent ruling that Trump had to pay. What was the number? $350 million.
Some insane number. Yeah. And by the way, you see that the governor there got on the news and said, "Don't worry about the Trump ruling. Your business is safe in New York." Like, fuck it is. Until you do something the fucking governor doesn't like, or you know, win against the liberal establishment candidate, then you're anything but safe. It's unbelievable. Sometimes I find myself like saying stuff on this show that I can't believe I'm saying out loud, but it's truly it's truly where we are. Things have become so notable out there that we have to say these things.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say Torp is always asking every week when Mutant League Hockey chat.
Do you know what Mutant League Hockey is?
I've seen
it's on the Switch. I think it's on the Switch. It looks good. I almost bought it before it. What was I doing? I was like going somewhere. It was gonna be a long ride or something like that. And I think it's only like $10. I kind of want to buy it. Honestly, it's probably not bad.
I thought it was a game for Genesis back in the day.
Mutant Hockey League.
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was
you're right
it made by EA, and so they kind of used, I'm guessing, the same engine that they had for Madden and NHL, and so they just created for see Sega. You're saying
game looks legit.
So I don't know, I have never played it. I'm busy as it is, man. I still have games to play in my NHL 94 league that I still have to wrap up. It's getting late. Yeah, but yeah, that trucker thing, it's incredible because they're, you know, they say they're refusing to deliver anything in the city of New York. So New York City. So that it goes to show you that people are fucking pissed with the administration and also the ruling by some of these judges, which might have a vendetta against Donald Trump. Because did you see the ruling? I saw like a video of his when he finalized ruling, and it's like he did it with like a smirk and everything. I don't know if it was an edit or something.
That's not from the ruling. It's from the first day of the trial. Yeah.
Okay.
And someone made the edit where like it's him being introduced in like a 1990s like sitcom opening credits.
Holy shit!
That's perfectly.
I haven't watched TV in forever, Joey. Do they still have this?
Like, not since the 90s or what?
It's probably been like 15. I haven't watched a show, a recent show.
I don't watch any TV. This is off the beaten path.
Like, did they stop the song at the beginning, at the end of the shows? Do they still do that? They do,
but it's not really the same. Like, it's more for dramatic effect now. Like, I just finished watching True Detective today. 4 out of 10, by the way. Worst season yet.
I never heard of that. I thought it was a book.
True Detective season one, Len. If you and Daniela are ever like bored on a weekend, on a Sunday, and you feel like watching something that will 100% captivate you with all A-list actors, all the top of their game, True Detective season one is the best 7 hours of TV ever made. It's not, and nothing even comes close.
Give me a number of how many of the actors are A-list.
It stars McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson is the only one I know because from Cheers.
And yeah, McConaughey's in there too. He's really good in that movie. Alexander Daddario's in there.
McConaughey in a lineup with some other random dude, I have a 50-50 chance of picking him. Well, I'm not kidding.
I'm telling you, if you ever want to get into something that'll captivate you, that'll do it. That's good TV. Anyway, do you want to talk about one more thing, two more things?
Yeah, well, something else that should be able to captivate you is what's going on with the Bank of Canada, because they say that they're going to be halting. This is according to RBC, by the way. And this is not from the Bank of Canada, but RBC believes that the Bank of Canada is going to be halting their QT program within months. And they say that it's going to be ending in April of this year. The Bank of Canada to date have reduced the assets on their balance sheet to around $313 million Canadian. Mm-hmm. And at the peak, it was around $570 million. So they've been unwinding this for quite some time and reduced their balance sheet significantly, around $250 million Canadian. But you get this word from RBC, which is a prominent bank within Canada. They must have a lot of data that they're pulling to come to this solution. The Bank of Canada Deputy Governor, Tony Gravel, said last March, I know it's a long time ago, but still, he said last March, or was she, that policymakers expect to wind up quantitative tightening as late as 2024 or early 2025. So it's either going to be the end of this year or beginning of next year. So you got two different things that are being said. One was a little bit dated from last year, but they're saying it's not going to be ending until later this year. RBC says it's going to be happening in a couple of months. And if QT ends, potentially QE is an option if it's ever needed. So just keep that in mind. The Canadian dollar has had some challenges as a comparison to other currencies throughout the world, like compared to the Mexican peso, for instance. It's lost a significant amount, 10-15% in the past year and a half, if I recall correctly. So yeah, it's going to be interesting times moving forward.
Our rate, or our CPI comes out this week, right? I think.
Yes, tomorrow, I believe.
Tomorrow, Wednesday?
I think so, it's tomorrow.
In terms of QT, QE, I agree with everything you said. Let's talk Canadian rates. Since we talked about the US, let's talk Canadian rates.
Sure.
Last month, home sales increased for the second straight month, I have written down here. TD expects firmer price growth is likely moving forward. Home builders building at an impressive pace, but still not, I'll quote it here, still trail fundamental housing requirements flowing from Canada's sizzling population growth. Next week's inflation report likely to show a little change in overall inflation. So I don't know. I'd have to look back and see how many times we stopped tightening operations and started and left rates high compared to the 80s. They're not high, but higher than we're used to. Or do they instead often stop those quantitative tightening operations and then switch to QE and make money easy? I don't know. I've said this before that I think housing, I had this back and forth with Scott Dettles on Twitter, about how there's not a housing crash coming. I don't know what the case is for a housing crash. And I look at housing the same way I look at the stock market. If you tell me that houses are going to crash to prices not seen since, last year, that's not a crash, man. It may be a crash in like name only, that 20%, but if they're going up 20% every year, it's not really a crash, is it? You're talking like 60%, 70% for it to really be a crash. That would bring prices back to what? 2019, maybe 2018.
It's really worse than that, because if you adjust for inflation,
yeah, right. So what are you really hoping for, people who are like on this crash bandwagon? I don't know, but I don't think the bank sees it the same way you do. I think they see it the way that I see it, and they're going to try and temper expectations with their words, and the policy is going to become easy again at some point in this year. I think it's going to start to go the other direction. And I know Boomer in the chat was saying they're not going to cut in the States unless something really goes wrong. Canada's not in the same boat. Like there's too much exposure to real estate. There's too much the CPI basket is shelter. And you do remember the math, man. I don't know.
Foss used to say that Canada, the Bank of Canada, is a testing ground for.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's much validity to that. I just wanted to bring that up. So maybe that's truthful. I don't know. But there's also another thing to consider is Tiff Macklem, his words that he's using and his tone, it's different now.
Body language doctor. He's in the house, everyone. Doctor is in.
The, this isn't body language. This is actually was straight coming out of his mouth. And he's been pretty, he's been critical of the government.
Yeah.
Right. This is what I'm
very wrong, much so. The last two meetings, probably. Yeah. Pretty
yeah. Pointed. So yeah. Essentially what I gather from it, and maybe I didn't get it correctly, but the way he's saying it is the government spending should be reduced to enable the Bank of Canada to continue what they're trying to do to bring down inflation. He said, from what I gather, he's saying that the spending, government spending, is really causing an issue with the bank to try to achieve their 2% target. And so Macklin, I don't know what's happened, but lately he's been,
they're at odds, right? They're at odds with the current government. I think it's safe to say that. If I look at the language, it's probably the first time ever, right, that it's been so direct.
Which is funny because the relationship between the two entities, right? They are separate by on paper, but really, is that the case? No. So, and if you have, somebody within the family that is saying stuff that's negative towards the family, then I don't know. It just seems odd.
When that happens in The Sopranos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I don't think Macklin is going to get whacked. He'll be
okay. What do you think? Maybe we'll close on this. Cut this year or no?
In Canada or the U.S. or both?
Give me both.
Cut this year, yes. Okay. I think significant cuts. No, but we could see 25 basis points from each of the two banks the latter half of this year and still meet my prediction. Now, I think the better question is, will be significant? Will we see, up to 100 basis points or more cuts this year in either of the two? And I'm just totally guessing here. It's like guessing the CPI. But I would say, yeah, maybe we'll see between now and December a 100 basis point cut. I think so. It's definitely possible. What about you?
Yeah, I would say Canada is more likely than the US. But I also think that, if you look at some of the reporting last week on the US CPI print, the White House is in panic mode now because there's just not going to be an easy path to cuts like there was, a month ago or 2 months ago when CPI was kind of coming down. That was the story, right? That was the narrative. Yeah, Jovial Powell, like I talked about before. But some reporting saying that the White House is in a bit of a frenzy last week because they really are relying on rate cuts. And I think a lot of people are going to try and call that bluff. So let's see. I think we're going to get cuts on both sides. To your point, 25 basis points is what everyone expects because we just saw 25s on the way up for part of
that. Are you talking about every meeting or by the end of the year?
I think by the end of the year, you're going to see 75 bips on both sides. I think Canada's, you could convince me with the right set of odds to bet that Canada gets 150 basis points off of the rate this year with the right set of odds. I don't know what those odds would have to be, but maybe 3-1, something like that.
And the thing is, a lot hedges on their decisions to figure.
Everything does. Literally everything.
Yeah.
The stock market, the housing market, education.
Your ability to everything. To buy shit. It's incredible.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
That a small group of people have that much power. And I'm not saying that they're doing this in a way nefariously, but still they do have that power. Like that's why I like Bitcoin. It takes it away and the free market goes on its own rather than having people try to address certain things by increasing rates or decreasing rates and stuff like that. But yeah, it goes to show you how much fucking power some people have, and it could just impact our lives drastically, positively or negatively.
Unfairly is the answer. Positive or negative, unfairly is the answer, I think.
It's just the system we built.
Yeah.
And we live, the sad reality is most of us have no other idea like what it feels like to live in a different type of standard, like in a standard where it's money is backed by something that's hard, like,
or just the policies. I don't even care about the backing. You could tell me that the money's not backed by anything and I would say okay, but how about at least like some predictability in the policy? Instead, it's like done by the strength of the wind blowing that day. It's done by, again, like you said, it's very opaque. It's a couple of people deciding whether or not you're going to be able to retire at 60 or 65.
Well,
55.
I don't have much data to support this, but I think that you would have more predictability under a gold standard.
For sure. For sure.
So there is merit to say that having that type of system, you'll understand, you'll have an idea what's going to happen in the next little while. And, I'm born in the late 70s and I'm one of the older people here, I'd imagine. And in my lifetime, I've never, obviously, 1971 was the last time there was a gold standard for countries that they could redeem their gold. But as for an individual, it's like, what is it? 100? No, not quite. When's 1931? It's almost 100 years.
100 years now. Yeah, pretty close.
That's a fucking long time, man. Like, I don't know. I'll leave it at that, Joe. I think that's a good episode. Thanks for everybody that tuned into the chat. It's been a rocking chat, like always.
Like always, man. You guys are the best. Len is back Wednesday with Gabe. He's also doing Tom and Nick's Your Life Return show Wednesday. I am doing Hervoy and Morich's TNT radio show. All those links will be tweeted out when we have them. Until we see you next time, take care of yourself.
Yeah, don't be McCuck.
Oh, wait. I forgot I have to go to Rumble to end that stream. Anything else? Anything else you want to add before?
No, man. It's all good. This is the shit we have to deal with now, ladies and gentlemen. So, all this shit behind the scenes. I can't wait till we have the people that could man the switchboard.
That's
person
right.
The switchboard.
Okay, now we're leaving. Goodbye. Yeah.
Don't forget, everybody, lots of other stuff on CBP Media Network, including Two Whites and a Blue, me, Joey, my brother-in-law, Mike, and our friend Will talk about all the problems millennials are having with finance, romance, and just getting by. If you'd like CBP, if you like the NHL 94 podcast, I guarantee you'll like that one. Search for it, Two Whites and a Blue, anywhere you get your podcasts. We look forward to seeing you.